You damn right. Hope you're having a good Monday. Depending on who your teams are, it's kind of a combination of feelings. We'll go through all those different combinations. Boy, do I wish I'd been wrong. Boy, do I wish I'd been wrong about one particular thing this weekend. But I was not. I was right. Score slightly off. But I did get that one right. It's Chad and Zay on a Monday. Don't worry, Longhorn fans. We'll dig all through that. Cowboy fans feeling a little better. Astros fans feeling way better right now. I'm Chad Hastings, joined, as always, by the one and only Isaiah Collier. He is not feeling as good after Stillwater as he was before. What's up, Zay?
What's poppin', Chad? Tough one for the Horns and Stillwater on Saturday, but on the bright note, you and I went 5-0 this week in our picks.
How about
again,
that?
Jump on our back, everybody at the Horn. We're starting to run away with this when it comes to everybody on airwaves, Horn staff.
5-0.
Bucky and Aaron, get your weight up. Craig and Jeff, get your weight up.
Last 3 weeks, 14-1.
Harge and Rod, get your mother weight up. Because Chad and Zay are out here. You heard me?
Zay, I feel like we need a service. I feel like we need a service. If you hadn't called yet, Chad and Zay, 14-1 the last 3 weeks. 1-800-222-2222. Ask for one of our specialists. They're going to hook you up with our big play of the week.
Are you Dick Vitale now?
Kind of. That did turn into Dickie V real quickly.
Play of the week.
Unbelievable.
We're making football picks, baby.
5-0. Clemson, just barely. Thank you, Cade Klubnik. Helped us get that pick right. Oregon, all over UCLA. We got that one. TCU gets up off the deck and comes and wins that one in Fort Worth. Zay, I was concerned that they didn't have the energy to fill that cup back up. As that game was going on, I thought, ooh, I think we hit the wrong side. I think it's finally over for TCU. They don't have enough energy. And Max Duggan and those running backs just said, we got a little bit more left.
Yo, what the hell is Sonny Dyke saying in that locker room? Because this is two straight weeks where you're going against a pretty solid opponent. You're down by a lot, and somehow you're just well-experienced group. We know that he has some of the most, well, I guess I want to say the most upperclassmen and experienced group in the Big 12. And those guys, man, they just stay locked in, stay sound. And, yeah, it's kind of the opposite of what we see down here at the 40 Acres.
Yeah, 28-17 at the half. 11 points, two-score game, one more score, and you're back in it. Maybe that's what Sonny's been saying. They outscore them 14-0 in the third and 7-0 in the fourth. Bye-bye. 38-28. K-State does not score in the second half.
Hell, maybe he's saying, hey, guys, let's just take out another quarterback, and it'll probably play in our favor because that's how it's been these last, I don't know how many games. They just seem to get rid of the QB1 on whatever opposing team they play, and the QB2 comes in, and they just blow the lead, and TCU, hey, they just keep on rolling.
Yeah, I think it's I've heard Rod Babers call Will Howard, Will Spill the Pill Howard. I think that's what he and Kevin used to call him. And he ends up, if you tell me he's got 20 attempts in that game, I definitely am picking TCU. The Titans won yesterday in the NFL. We picked Kansas City to go on the road and beat San Francisco. Oh, by the way, with Buffalo and Philly off this week, we know they're really good. Zay, a reminder from Mahomes, Reed, and the gang in red yesterday that on any given NFL day, that's a tough team to deal with.
Yeah. I don't know how many times Harmon came on the jet sweep and scored. Like, it's just they have so many different weapons now. Juju Smith-Schuster is starting to get going. We all know how much attention Travis Kelce gets put on him. And, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, you know, we all thought before the season with him losing Tyreek Hill, how will they work with that? How will Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, how will they make it work for Patrick Mahomes to make him comfortable? And, yeah, they look good. Of course, they had that loss in the Indianapolis Colts. But, yeah, I think they're the team to beat.
To go out there and put 44 on the Niners?
I say that, but they just lost to the Bills, so the Bills are the team to beat. But after that, the Chiefs, they're still for real.
Bills and Eagles come off the bye this week. Kansas City goes on to their bye week this week, and they do it with a lot of momentum there. We have a texter already agreeing with Zay that, yes, Sonny Dykes is telling them to take out quarterbacks. That is exactly what he's telling them to do.
Oh, man.
They're looking good, man. If you want to jump in, Specs text line 337-3776. But you know what our big focus will be today. You know we deal with the two big circuses around here. One circus got their quarterback back and looked pretty good. The other one went to Stillwater and ran into some issues. Let's get you the Specs set piece, and we'll start with the Longhorns.
The Specs set piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
And shout out to Austin FC. We'll talk a little bit more about it in the crap bag today, but they did beat FC Dallas. Nice 2-1 win. They're into the Western Conference Finals in MLS, trying to get to their first MLS Cup. So congrats to Austin FC.
I see you, Verde, getting that big dub.
Boy, exactly the opposite of that last game, too. All the tension of getting down 2-0. Instead, it's getting up 2-0. Dallas eventually got a goal, but that place was just so energetic away. After Driussi scored the goal, I think everybody knew.
It's become a place where it's hard to play in for opposing teams. If you aren't mentally prepared, especially with the stakes they're in now, you're an opposing team coming in to play Austin FC. The crowd's going to be rowdy as hell. You know that. It's a different atmosphere. And if you don't got the cojones, then, hey, you're going to get gotten. That's what happened to Dallas FC.
By the way, MLS people, let me know. Do they play that MLS Cup in somebody's home field, or do they do it at a neutral? I don't know the answer to that question.
Just one game, though?
They're going to L.A. for this Western Conference Final. Yeah, one game. And if they beat L.A., they'll be in the MLS Cup. It is one game, one day. I just don't know if the better team gets to play at home, or do they go to a neutral site. So let me know that if you're an MLS fan. Our man Chris Bennett just texted, Texas was just flagged again. Yeah, that was a part of the game.
Oh, my God.
Let's just start there, Zay, because by the end of the ball game, Texas had brought a sloppy brand of football to Stillwater. 14 penalties for 119 yards. Now, should you have an entire game where one team gets no penalties? Probably not. Oklahoma State probably should have got called for a couple penalties. The fact that they didn't is noteworthy, but Texas was very, very sloppy, and that's something you can't do. They give up an entire field and a little bit worth of penalties in a big road game, and it really hurt them.
Yeah, it did, and it was such an interesting game, man. Like that first half, it lasted forever. It seemed like that first half, that could have been a finale to a game where it was just 31-24, and then the second half, it just got worse, and we saw Quinn Ewers play like a freshman, and it hurt. You know, you talk about the penalties, and I was on that. You know, I might not be on the Texas as a team Kool-Aid drinking, but I was on that Quinn Ewers Kool-Aid drinking. Mm-hmm. I was mixing it in with some Ripple like Red Fox used to do back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Sanford and Son type stuff. Yeah. Like I was on one, and yeah, you just got to remember the guy is still a freshman that played his true first road game since high school against a team that was top 15 and still has Big 12 championship aspirations. So if you look at it like that, you say, okay, I understand it, but it's how it went down. It's missing 30 completions and how he was missing those completions. And just the play calling to match that, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people wanted him out the game for Hudson Card. And, you know, I want to say that's more to how good Hudson Card has been this year to really how bad Quinn Ewers was in this game. But for me, I needed to see him all the way through. Now, here on out, if he has these bad games, then Sark should probably make a change because now you got 2 weeks to go back, regroup, practice, and get back locked in. And there are so many things that the freshman Quinn Ewers did on Saturday that was just because he was young. Him throwing it out of bounds a lot instead of going through all the progressions that he went to. Okay, yeah, when he's a freshman quarterback, can we go to the sideline and let him know that? Was that happening? And Sark, were you going back and saying, okay, if these plays aren't working, if we're throwing way too many deep shots, I want to say at least 15 of those incompletions were going deep, then let's dumb it down a little bit. Let's get Bijan Robinson and Roschon back involved. And I get it that, you know, Mike Gundy, he made adjustments. He made some serious adjustments. We know he's a good coach, and he did outcoach Sark. But I think there were that game was to be won. Like, you know, you were winning that game 31-17 at one point. And I saw what Dabo Swinney did to Cade Klubnik. I've been saying on these airways more probably than anybody that Dabo can't wait to throw Cade Klubnik in there. Like, he can't wait. Them boosters, everybody, they know how good Cade Klubnik is. Hell, we do. We saw what he did. We saw those three state championships he put up. Dabo couldn't wait to put him in. But situation's a little bit different. DJU, in a way, he can get better, yes, but Dabo's seen this before. That fumble he had, two picks that he had, Dabo's seen that before. Great change, great coaching decision. Me and you talked about earlier with Nick Saban putting Tua in there in the national championship game. He knew Jalen Hurts' ceiling. He knew that he couldn't make certain throws to beat that team that they needed to beat, and Tua came in and did that. We don't know Quinn Ewers yet, and I wanted to see him ride it out. That's just my opinion. I'm glad that he rode it out. Do I wish it was a different outcome? Yes, but I wouldn't put it all on Quinn Ewers. We talked about the penalties, the secondary, which is injury. Like, they're beat up. They
really
beat these
are.
2 weeks like crazy. They looked really bad, but that a lot of that was due to the 98 plays that they had on defense.
Let us know what you thought about the quarterback situation. Were you one of those Longhorn fans thinking you go to Card for a little bit, you go to Card for the rest of the game, or were you with Sark and Zay and a lot of other Longhorn fans said, no, this, if this is your guy, you got to let him work through it, especially when you had the lead. Remember when DJU throws that, third pick, they are down at that point. They're down 11 points, I want to say. Was it 21-10?
It was 21-10.
At that moment.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a different circumstance. Plus, like you're saying, this is something that, and that's also a decision Dabo's made before in a big situation with Bryant and Lawrence. So let us know what you thought of the quarterback situation. Let us know what you thought of the game itself. It was a wild one in Stillwater. Yeah, lots of incompletions. For whatever it was that happened, 30 times Quinn Ewers threw a ball, and they didn't get the result they wanted. 19 out of 49, two touchdowns, the three picks. And it was just weird, Zay, to watch. We knew the wind was going to be a factor. We heard about it going in. And our guys that were in Stillwater were sending back videos and pictures, and flags were popping and all that. So you knew the wind was an issue. Sometimes it looked like it was just a flat-out overthrow. A couple times I would look at the replay and think, well, wait a minute, can't that receiver raise his arms? Can't that receiver raise a hand? It's almost like they just sort of let it fly over their head. And then the announcers on TV were saying Sark was talking to the receivers about it. Is it the receiver and a route versus Quinn and the throw? There were a lot of those issues out there. And then the other thing you mentioned just a second ago, Zay, the fact that this defense defended 98 plays. Even with those stops in the second half, that run they had of the stops in the second half, offense couldn't help them out. This is still a defense that they're going to give some stuff up now. You mentioned it, they're banged up more in the defensive backfield. If you're just jumping in, Sark at his press conference today did announce officially Anthony Cook has a broken arm and they're going week to week. They're just going to have to see what it's like. But, Zay, I don't think that's a shock. Watching him walk off the field, they had the arm held up. My first thought was, is that a separated shoulder? Or broken arm, broken wrist, broken elbow, whatever. It ends up being a broken arm, so they're just going to have to see how he heals over the off week.
Yeah, that hurts because he's one of the guys that will really stick his nose in there and make some plays happen. We've seen the last few weeks, Anthony Cook, he ain't scared of much, and the Horns are going to miss him. And, you know, just the shifting around that PK had to do, Steve Sarkisian had to do in the secondary. You know, Jahdae Barron, he went from his normal nickel spot to the outside, and he got hit with a few pass interference calls that were brutal. And, you know, when you're not used to playing a certain spot, that adjustment, it is tough. It's tough, you know. I know Oklahoma State, they were missing guys too, but it just seems like Mike Gundy realized, okay, these guys are beat up. Once Spencer Sanders in the second half started really utilizing his legs more, you know, that one play was brutal that Steve Sarkisian talked about in the presser where they went for the screen. We were supposed to have a spy on them, whether that was Tucker Dorsey or Ovi Ogofu. He was the one closest to Spencer Sanders at that time, too, and Spencer Sanders looked to the right for the screen. It wasn't there. The whole Texas ball club went that way, and then he got a nice gang. Just little things like that, but I just can't sit here and say Quentin Ewers, it was all on him. I can't do that. You know, the special teams played really good, from that muff punt, whatever that was, where it hit Presley's leg, and which I don't, how is that not a touchdown? It's just dead once they blow it, it's just dead.
That's one of those rules in football that I've never fully understood. Just like the thing we've talked about with the knee down in college and high school, I've never understood why you can't advance a muffed punt. But that's the rule. Once the punt is muffed, even if I get it full sprint, you know, and can run with it, it doesn't matter. The moment I cover it, the ball's dead. I've never understood why.
Yeah, so that was a bogus call. Another Burt Auburn smoked field goal.
Yeah.
And clutch time.
After hitting two big ones.
Yo,
and then he misses
And think about, like, what that does to the whole team's psyche. I'm not trying to put this on Burt Auburn either,
right.
But there's just certain plays in the game where your team kind of just exhales in the most negative way, like a sigh, and that was one of them. Like, okay, we're already struggling to move the ball anyway in the second half. We need to just put up some type of points, anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he smokes the field goal. It's a tie game. They go back down. They score it. And, yeah, that's all she wrote.
I know some Texas fans are tired of hearing Sark talk about complimentary football. Even if you have a part of your team you can't trust, you still can search for, you know, complimentary football and hope for it. I thought there was a moment where Auburn actually made a kick that was still a bad moment overall. That sequence where they go punt to the one, three and out for Oak State, the punt return came to the 20 when I think Worthy brings it down to the 20, and all you got out of that was a field goal. I thought that sequence ended up being really bad. I mean, yeah, points are points, but I think it went from, 7 to 10, and you could have gone up 14 right there and really had some momentum. So this is a team that does still search for those moments. Like I said earlier, five, I think, straight possessions where the defense makes a stop. Five of them in a row. And the offense got you either nothing or three out of it. I think they might have gotten three off of one of those, but they didn't ultimately keep that momentum going and really turn it. If you have a thought, the Specs text line is there, 337-3776. This says Card should have come in. Ewers is our quarterback, but we're trying to compete for the Big 12. Make that change. This says okay with him working through it, but the fact, here we go, Zay, the fact that he was missing a fingernail and he was off, I probably make the change. So let's go back to Saturday real quick. Jeff Howe, our guy there, Horns 24/7, you hear him on Light the Tower. He puts out this little video where he says, hey, Quinn Ewers got a glove on. He's going through work as he's got a glove on. I thought, well, why would he have a glove on? Then he comes out for the game. He doesn't have the glove on. But then after the game, apparently he tells the media, sometime during the week, a fingernail was removed from his hand.
Didn't know that. And if he's too hurt to play, then, yeah, take him out.
Well, and maybe not too hard to play, but just if
it affects him,
yeah,
take him out.
If we feel like that's affecting him on a windy day, in Stillwater, in a crazy place to play, just kind of all of those things. We also have a fan that thinks that Sark needs to take off the second half and let Gary Patterson be the coach. How dare you?
He's not good in the second half. We know that. Like, there's 20 games in his career, six of them he's had leads in, like big-time leads going into the second half. So that's been an issue. And shout-out to my man Nico's Corner on Twitter for this stat. Texas has more TDs in the second quarter of all their games than they do the third and fourth quarters combined.
Wow.
Combined.
That's a huge stat.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
That's not good one bit.
No.
So that just goes back to what we've been talking about. We talk about all the time with Steve Sarkisian when the second half comes and then that coach on the other side, especially if it's a high-quality coach, once that coach starts making adjustments, Steve Sarkisian just has trouble making adjustments to those adjustments. It's an absolute fact now. He's, what, 10-10 at Texas in his 20 games.
Right.
It's just, we've seen it, whether that's Quinn Ewers or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think I hear the number. Everybody's heard this number before, I guess, but it was, what, 50 games for Tom Herman, and he dropped like four of those games where he's up double digits at some point. And now Sark's already had six of them in 20 games, I think is the number. And these stats that we're keeping up with that don't need to get worse are getting worse. Road games, 1-6, 6-8 in conference, and 3-8 in one score games. So think about that for a second. He's in his second year at Texas. He has already been involved in 11 one score games. 11. I've not gone to do the comparison, updated comparison with him versus other coaches in the conference and country, but it usually ends up ugly. 3-8. A, you're in 11 of them, and B, you've only won three of those games that end up one score. That's just, it's not good.
And we can all come to the conclusion whether or not if you think that Hudson Card should have got out there and had some snaps, whether or not you think that Sark could have changed up the play calling a little bit. Either way, there weren't adjustments. You could have adjusted by putting Hudson Card in there. You could have adjusted by making adjustments to the play calling that Mike Gundy was throwing at you. Because, again, it wasn't crazy. They weren't doing crazy stuff that you saw the previous weekend against Iowa State. Now, the offensive line, which I don't think is getting talked about enough, big setback.
Yeah.
Kelvin Banks had a setback this weekend. Yeah. We've been talking highly of him. This was his worst game. We saw Christian Jones. I didn't like that call on that scramble, by the way. Christian Jones, that was a bad call on you. Goes to the 14 penalties for 119 yards. But there was one play that Christian Jones got trucked nasty. Like, it was brutal. Like, it had to hurt the pride a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. It was a rough one. And homeboy was right at Quinn's ankles. Right at Quinn's ankles. And for a quarterback, that's a no-no. You don't like that.
Right.
So for
and that's the one where the throw ended
up
going.
Yeah, and that, and you know, and that's for a very young quarterback. Again, Quinn Ewers can't even buy a drink yet. Hasn't had many reps. This was his first road test. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it wasn't all on him. Could have Sark made a change? Possibly. Is he maybe regretting that today? Maybe. He didn't say that in the presser, but still, all in all, he didn't make the adjustments when you needed to, plus all the injuries with the secondary. And, yeah, it was just another very disappointing loss at the 40.
If you need to get your thoughts out today, 337-3776 is the Specs text line, as you can imagine. Lots of reaction coming in there. Texas falls in Stillwater. They're 5-3 and 3-2 in conference play. We'll continue to talk Longhorns. The Sark press conference happened earlier. We'll get that posted for you as soon as possible. Up next, we'll turn to the positive side of the circus. The Cowboys got a win with Dak Prescott back in the saddle, and the Houston Astros are headed back to what seems like their home now, the World Series. We'll break that down for you, too. On the Horn. I hate the world today. You're so good to me, I know, but I can't change. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath. All right, it is Monday, getting the week started. All right, Zay, should I know this?
I don't know. What I've noticed with you, you like just skip the 90s. Which makes sense. You were young in your radio.
Oh, yeah. Now I hear it. Now I hear it. Okay, so, bitch is Meredith Brooks.
Meredith Brooks. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
See, I didn't miss all of it.
Yeah, usually 90s is a little hit or miss with you.
No, you're right.
You were locked into your young radio career. I get it. It makes sense.
It's not even that. It is when you're a music snob, you get snobby about a lot of different things, but you'll also turn your back on certain movements in music. So when you are a metalhead in the 80s. as the metal thing is turning into something else and another movement comes along, you can either accept that movement or you can be petty. You can be Isaiah Collier petty. Yeah. And I kind of was on certain things. So when the 90s rolled in, I sort of was into a little bit of the grunge, but not much. And in terms of that kind of stuff, the 90s sort of pop, no. I was digging my heels in on trying to find metal and old rock and roll and like alt country and all that stuff. I was not dealing with any Meredith Brooks, but I am aware of it, aware it happened.
Yeah. That's how I'm feeling today after that loss in Stillwater. I hate myself today.
Woo. Dun, dun. So after watching that game, I am still, I'll say it again, I said it on Friday, Texas and Oklahoma State is never boring in football, ever. I'm going to miss that game when it goes away just for that fact, but I'm going to tell you what, Zay, even above Lubbock and other places, above Manhattan, above anywhere else, I think games last longer in Stillwater than anywhere else. I think it is the place that can make a football game, especially when you add those offenses exchanging the fastest three and outs I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was like a world record stuff. Each of those quarterbacks was producing like a 25-second three and out, and then the other team had the ball.
Yeah, it was a weird game. Listen to what Derek Mason said, according to Sam Hutchins, who I want to say he's one of the writers for Oklahoma State, but defensive coordinator Derek Mason. Mm-hmm. Listen to what he said after the game on Saturday. When I walk out the building, I don't see Ferraris and Lamborghinis. I see Ford F-150s, Chevys, blue-collar stuff, and I think our kids are immersed in the idea of toughness all day long.
Oof, man. See, that's, we know what they're taking a shot at there. A listener texted us today. NIL is killing us. Dudes in Lambos, Maseratis, free non-alcoholic beer. I don't know what that reference is. Just making our softness even softer. Somebody else, one score game tells you the talent is there, but the coaching is struggling in the second half. I want it to work for Sark, but I don't know it will. I hope so, because I love seeing L'Oreal fashion every week. Okay, that's a weird reason to want it to work. But wanting it to work is good.
Yo, she's right, man.
She is
right. Well, Steve Sarkisian, talk about his play calling, talk about his lack of adjustments. When it came to him adjusting his new life and getting a new wife, he adjusted well.
Yeah,
and did
that thing. No doubt. This text says we needed to go to Roshan, not Card, give viewers a break to regroup and maybe see that pass out of the Wildcat that we've been waiting for. This Longhorn fan. This Longhorn fan says, how about them Astros? See, that's a good way you can refocus if you're also an Astros fan. That's a good thing.
Going back to the Wildcat, Rocat and stuff, we haven't seen it since. What game was that where they were just doing it? Was that Tech? Where they were doing it too much? It wasn't. It couldn't have been West Virginia where they won, because we wouldn't have been dogging it that much.
Right.
But it was like we dogged it, and Sark was like, yeah, y'all right. We ain't doing it at all. No, Sark, that's not it. It's maybe you should throw a pass out of that Rocat every once in a while, and maybe not do it as much to where it becomes predictable. But when you're trying to figure out things and figure out how to adjust to what Mike Gundy's throwing at you in the second half, and with the way Quinn Ewers is playing, hey, why not? Why not just throw that out there to see what happens?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I would have been in favor of any idea that produced a running play in Stillwater. I thought that was the ultimate answer. I tweeted during the game that's the only way Sark could get out of that, and he didn't. You could tell from his comments today, Zay, he's not comfortable running the ball in those situations. He's not comfortable running the ball in long, down, and distance, second and long. But I would remind him that he was getting chunks at times. He said feast or famine after the game. Okay, but the feast was badass. The feast was 12 yards of Bijan or Roshan trucking guys.
Well, it's second and long, according to you and him. It's like second and 9, second and 10.
Yeah, okay. Let's say 8 to 10.
Okay.
Is when I felt like in those areas, he doesn't want to run. He wants to try to throw. Because today he said, yeah, you know, if we're second and 10 and then we run, then we've got to deal with third and 10. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What if he gains 5 yards? Then you're not dealing with
it. And then he took accountability and said, I went back and saw some places where we probably should have ran the ball more, and we did not do that. And that the counter was working in the second half. Mike Gundy went in his locker room and said, yeah, let's stop the counter. They stopped that. And then after that, Yeah. Let's just keep throwing the ball down the field.
Got to make that adjustment. Bijan Robinson, 24 carries for 140. Roschon had 5 for 73. So those two guys together had 29 carries. Quinn Ewers threw 20 more passes than that.
Somebody said, how did Quinn Ewers become Chuck Knoblauch?
See, that's not...
Y'all are cold, man.
Yeah, that is not... The Chuck Knoblauch thing is not fair, and the comment we got earlier about some particular... That a certain president would be alive if he was the... No, we're not doing that.
Don't Chuck Knoblauch got rings, though? Playing that second base spot?
Chuck Knoblauch, I think...
Him and Derek Jeter, he has to have some rings.
I think Knoblauch got a ring with Minnesota in 87.
Knoblauch didn't get a ring in the 90s?
Ooh, no, no, no.
Upper 90s with the Yankees?
Wait a minute. He might not have, because that he was still at A&M in 87. I don't know if Knoblauch has a ring.
Somebody on Specs text line looked that up.
Yeah, we got to look that up.
I thought he got some hardware to at least, you know.
I mean, I hope he does. He's one of my Aggie brothers. I love Chuck Knoblauch. But, yeah, he did end up as one of those guys that had a little bit of the yip kind of thing going on. And certainly we don't think that is what's going on with Quinn Ewers, but they've got to get this figured out. Does the fingernail thing factor into it? Zay, I would defend Sark's decision to stay with him because of some of those short routes that he threw, and he was throwing accurately. But then I would get on Sark to say, okay, stop throwing the deep routes.
Yeah.
If he and Xavier Worthy are not coming together on those deep routes, they ran a couple shallow cross routes that I thought were really good. It took him forever to get to Jatavion Sanders. But did you see the throw when he did? That was a seed.
That was a tight throw.
Absolute seed of a throw. So that tells me he could make some of those throws, maybe adjust those routes a little bit, but tempo that thing up and run the ball. One thing I have watched a high school team do in this area that I think is a really cool idea if you can get it rolling is a big kind of throw or trick play to start your drive. And if it's successful, tempo right into a running play. It's something Peyton Manning did a ton of when he was with the Colts. It's something that, you know, if you watch him, when it's going well, Brady does it. Rodgers does it. Vandegrift in this area is somebody that'll do that. They'll hit you with a Miles Coleman end around or something to start a game.
Right, right, right.
And then they'll immediately tempo right up and hand it to Witt, and he's 8 yards down the field before you get a chance to breathe. And I was waiting for like an up-tempo Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
On first and 10, get up to the line, just a nice, easy handoff. I thought a lot of the handoffs were a little bit delayed. I like that little the pistol formation for them. Truly get him behind you in kind of an eye set. I like that idea. Get him running downhill. If I'm a Texas fan, I could have lived with more runs than I saw. Take about 10 of those pass attempts away from Quinn. Give them to Bijan and Roschon. And if you still lose the game, I'll accept that. But there needed to be more runs.
Yeah, way more runs. Just forcing it in there with Quinn. It's not good. And him locking in on Xavier Worthy, I want to say had around 17, 18 targets, only 4 receptions. That ain't good one bit. Jordan Winnington, he only had 1 catch for 23 yards. You mentioned Peyton Manning. Yes, Peyton Manning had a really good chemistry with Marvin Harrison. They got records together. But Reggie Wayne's going to Canton. Because Peyton Manning used to spread that ball around. Etherin James used to get some love. Mm-hmm. Dallas Clark used to get some love, too. You know, Quinn Ewers, and he's young. He's so young. We keep forgetting, you know, we saw the media just eat up the headlines on how good he is, how he could throw from all these different angles, sidearm, over the top, whatever you want. We saw Joe Klatt talk about it. We saw Game Day, all those guys, Herb Streak, and all those guys talk about it and, you know, big him up. And again, like I said earlier, I was on that Kool-Aid too. With what he's shown us thus far, I was on that too. But we always forget he's still a really young quarterback playing in his first true road test for 4 straight quarters. And yeah, that's what we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, a lot of texts coming in. By the way, you're absolutely right, Zay, and I forgot about the early 90s. Chuck Knoblauch actually has 4 rings. 3 with the Yankees.
He couldn't have been that bad.
Definitely not. I forgot that he was with those 3 Yankees teams, 98, 99, 2000 with Jeter, but he was also would have been on the 91. 87, he was still at A&M, but by 91, when the Twins beat the Braves, there's another reason I probably don't remember it, Chuck Knoblauch was on that team. So my bad, Chuck. My bad. My apologies to my Aggie brother. 91, 98, 99.
Yeah, so Chuck Knoblauch, he probably somewhere saying, damn, y'all. I ain't trying to hear y'all. I'm sitting pretty with my rings, chilling.
Yeah, chilling. Let's not go to that.
You gotta thank, you know, Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter and Georgie Posada and all those guys.
Thank all those guys.
They're pretty good too.
The greatest closer ever, maybe.
Mariano Rivera, maybe. He was nice with it. Sandman.
Somebody asked the question on the text line: did Sark out scheme himself in the game? Maybe that's one of the things that happened. We're talking about it today. 49 pass attempts for Quinn Ewers. Bijan Robinson had 24 carries. Texas loses 41-34. They go into the off week. If you just tuned in, we will get a six-day window on the Kansas State game. No big surprise there. K-State, I believe, has Oklahoma State this week. And so then with Texas on the bye week, you want to make sure they're going to, you know, wait to reset that till Sunday for the TV networks. By the way, if you missed Sark's press conference, it is up and posted for you at hornfm.com. Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com comes up at 1:05. He was over at the Sark press conference today. Up next in the crap bag, we'll hit a few things, including Austin FC. They are still alive, and they found a way to beat Dallas for the first time. This is The Horn. Man, Oklahoma State just broke your musical brain all up, didn't it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, I'm still PO'd, man. Spencer Sanders, country-ass mama's probably eating ham hocks and other type of squirrel meat that she's putting on the grill and all types of stuff that she eats where she comes from.
Oh, my God. All right, let me see if I can... All right, let me see if I can dig this one out because I do recognize that voice. So I'm not sure the song, but that sounds like Udo. So I'm going to guess Accept is the band. Yeah. Udo Dirkschneider is the lead singer of that band. And if you know what he sounds like, nobody else sounds like Udo. By the way, Udo, Zay, is literally, he's like maybe 5 feet tall.
What?
He's a little bitty dude. Lead singer of that band, the song they have that other people might know is Balls to the Wall. That was Accept. That was kind of their big hit. My brother was into that band, so I heard a little bit more of their stuff. But it was high energy, and he had that great gravelly voice back during their heyday.
Look at you, 2 for 2.
How about that? Accept and Meredith Brooks. Come on now. It's a weird combo.
Yo, hey, shout out to Jeff Howe for throwing Snoop Daniel completely under the bus on his picks this week, saying that he picked all the college games, and he went 3-0, and Snoop's the one that mucked up the NFL picks.
That is the way they have chosen to do it. They've been saying it like that on the air forever, that one of them picks pro, one of them picks college. So Jeff has it's not the first time I've heard him do that.
Well, unlike Steve Sarkisian, maybe y'all should do some adjusting. How about that?
Oh, yes, we did go 5-0 in our picks. That's the little bit of good news that Zay is clinging to right now as a Longhorn fan. And for me as a football fan, thank God for the Dallas Cowboys defense and beating the Lions. Otherwise, my football weekend was going to look pretty damn bad considering how A&M looked at South Carolina. Hello. And... did anybody catch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers act yesterday?
Good grief.
See, y'all all make fun of me like it's something I'm adding to my life by having two NFL teams. But when one of them plays like that, it's taking things away from your life because a third-string quarterback beat the Bucs 21-3 yesterday, Zay.
It was a horrible Aggie weekend. You're talking about Mike Evans probably dropping one of the most catchable balls, like Casey Kane. He's at his dorm room right now saying, dang, Mike Evans, what kind of drop was that? That's how bad it was. Like, talk about touchdown.
Mikey!
I mean, come on now. Then Dan Campbell probably should challenge that call. Micah Parsons, hell of hustle that he showed on that stop on what Brock Wright, when he tried to get in the end zone on that screen pass. Right. And then,
did you think he got in?
Yeah. I thought he was in.
Did you?
I thought he was in. Yeah. If he would have challenged that, I thought it would have went the Lions' way.
Did you think
the game would have completely changed?
Did you think he should have challenged the Diggs interception? Because that, well, no, I guess he couldn't, right? They never actually looked at that play. Did you think they should have taken a closer look? Did you think that ball hit the ground?
Maybe.
That was damn close.
It was close, but
I thought he caught it. But I'm also a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs, he don't drop many, so the refs were probably like, yeah, he ain't dropping that. He's a former wide receiver. Let's keep playing.
Yeah, five turnovers for the Lions certainly helped the Cowboys out. Cowboys get the win, and of course, there is a team headed back to the World Series. It's kind of their second home. Let's get into that and some other stuff in the crap bag. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Yes, Zay, thank you for reminding me that the Aggie starts to two games were awful. Evans dropping that ball on the third play of the game, and my Aggies going to South Carolina and being so enamored by Sandstorm, they forgot to cover the kick after they kicked it. First play of the game, they give it up and get in a hole. Because that's what that offense needs, a hole to dig out of, because they're so dynamic.
Play the freshman.
Oh, my God. And they did a little bit because of injury in that game, but will they play it now out of, hey, let's just give it a shot?
Yeah, what do you got to lose at this point?
Aggies are 3-4, and they're about to host Ole Miss.
That's fun.
It's at home.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the time.
We'll see.
And Ole Miss's defense can give up a little.
Jimbo's got some serious issues going down.
No doubt.
Station.
No doubt. Let's get a couple teams that don't have issues and are looking good. Congrats to Austin FC. The green lights were on, the smoke was flying, and they scored pretty quick. The first goal with, is it Jitty? Digitty? Digitty? Digitty, maybe, is what we'll go with. Great goal there off the set piece, and then Sebastian Driussi on his own. Little steal of the ball right around midfield. Soccer breakdown coming. All by himself with a goal to make it 2-0. There you go. That was fantastic. About 28 minutes in, fans got to enjoy that. They did win it 2-1. First time they've ever beaten Dallas. They had tied the last two. They lost the others. So they beat Dallas. They will take on LAFC in the Western Conference Final. And I'm being told, Zay, that Austin fans need to root for New York to beat Philly. If that happens and they beat LA, then Austin will host the MLS Cup. So apparently the championship is at somebody's place.
That's insane.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. It is cool.
Yeah.
But for one game, that is tough. And if it comes back to FC, now we know that can't look too far ahead. You still got to take care of business in La La Land. But if it comes back to the ATX, we know how that crowd going to be.
Yeah, and from what I understand, they beat this LA team both times this year. So they've got experience doing that. Philadelphia and New York will play the Eastern Conference Final. So this is Sunday at 2. If you want to check it out from LA, Sunday at 2 is when Austin FC will play. Congrats to them. Congrats to Max Verstappen. That's the guy that our man Rodney Rodriguez, I think, told us was going to win the F1 race. And he did.
Red Bull team.
13 wins this season. Congrats to Verstappen. And yes, congratulations to the Houston Astros. There is no doubt who the two best teams in baseball are right now. Philadelphia wins in 5. Astros sweep the Yankees. Close the door at Yankee Stadium. Zay, it's going to be a hell of a World Series. Sometimes they say, are you the best team or are you the hottest team? I think the best team is playing the hottest team in this World Series. We're going to find out who gets 4 out of 7.
Yeah, incredible sweep for the Astros, just sweeping the Yankees. And, yeah, it's just the team that seems to get back here. Say what you want. I know I make jokes about the whole scandals and whatnot, but this team right here definitely deserves to be there. Shout out to them. Shout out to Dusty Baker, who looks like my great uncle that used to lie to us about how he used to maybe have rendezvous with Diana Ross back in the 70s.
Dang.
That's what Dusty Baker looks like. Hey, yo. But with his toothpick, hey, young blood boy, back in my day, boy, I used to talk to Diana Ross, man. I used to see him up in Motown, man. You don't know nothing about that. Yeah, that's how Dusty Baker looks. So shout out to the Astros. I know the fans are hype, and yeah, those Phillies, you saw how they were. They ain't scared. That's for sure.
No, it's a hell of an ingredient, a hell of a bunch of ingredients coming together here. The Astros are the team with the pressure. They're the team with this history kind of following them around. There's two different things. There's the scandal part, which is kind of separate, but then you've got that you don't want to be the Atlanta Braves part of it. You don't want to be that team that goes on a long, long, long run and you win your division and you get to World Series, but you only end up with one ring. That is not a dynasty.
Yo.
That is not what they call that. You have to find multiple titles And then when you add that ingredient of you don't have a title that the league says is legit, like deep down, that's got to wear out on you a little bit. They've got something to prove here. Let's see if the Astros can deal with the pressure.
I know you're a big-time Braves fan. I know how much it hurts to go back to those classic 90s teams and not be considered a dynasty, only winning one. You got Chipper Jones and Maddox, Smoltz, and man, what the lefty, Glavin, Tom Glavin, stuff like that. Yeah. It's just, you know, you don't want to be like that. You're absolutely right. And this could change everything, but it's still baseball. No matter how hot you are, each series is different. Each pitch is different. Each pitcher is different. You know, it's still going to be down to the game of inches, as they like to call it. So I'm eager to see how it's going to go down.
Yeah, interesting, too. I saw a stat today. There are three teams that have done what the Astros have done, started undefeated through this playoff run in this format, and the other two lost the World Series. They played a hot team. They got it, the team that was playing well. So can the Phillies just keep playing hot baseball, playing with house money, and figure this out, or can the Astros just step on them with that pitching and all this great hitting and say, no, we are the best team, and we're going to get our second title.
Major League Baseball, can we change the 3-2-3-2 league or whatever rule?
2-3-2?
2-3-2. Please change that.
I agree.
Like, that's absolutely bogus. The NBA, they finally changed it after a lot of years of screwing teams over that clearly have the home field advantage. MLB, come on. Y'all can afford it. Y'all can afford flights for
these
guys.
We need to do it.
Like, come on, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so because from the Philadelphia perspective, if they win one game in Houston, they don't have to come back. They can go, and if they sweep it at home, they wouldn't have to come back. But we'll see. They've been doing 2-3-2 a long, long time. Congrats to the Astros. Congrats to the Phillies. And that series doesn't begin till Friday, just like the NBA Finals. And I think they do this with the Stanley Cup, too. They'll just set game one, and it just starts when it starts. So everybody gets plenty of rest. All right, we got Joe Cook of Inside Texas coming up here at 1. We got some breaking news, Zay. We need to get out there.
Mike Campbell, according to Mike Campbell on Twitter, per sources, Colts benching Matt Ryan turned into Sam Ehlinger. Ooh. Sam makes first career start Sunday versus Washington. My guy Taylor Heinicke, Nick Foles will be backup.
Wow, Sam Ehlinger to get the start this week?
Hey.
How about that?
Bam Bam Sam. Earn the spot. Congrats to him.
How about that? Congrats to the Westlake product. I know a lot of folks are going to be happy to hear that. Sam Ehlinger going to start his first NFL game this week. I'm sure we'll be talking about that as the week progresses. Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com coming up. Sark had a press conference today trying to explain what happened in Stillwater. We'll get Joe's thoughts on it as well on the Horn.